We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Great Michael Irvin is brought to you by Bet America, America's sportsbook. Jersey Mike's a sub above, and by Prop Swap, the Hall of Fame, and a three-time Super Bowl champion. One of the great wide receivers of all time, number 88. Our guy, the great Michael Irvin. Michael, how are you?
Man, I'm doing well, man. How are you guys today?
We're good. Well, our team won a game. Well, hold on. We got one in a row, Mike. We're hot.
Right.
And Mike, let me just say this. It's a lock. They lose to the Redskins. Lock.
I don't know about that. I didn't think about that. You're right. So they can possibly win two in a row.
Oh, my God.
I can't even mess with you, though, Joe. I can't even have fun with you with this. I don't even recall what's going on over here in Dallas. I can't even mess with you about it.
Your team, let me say one thing, Mike. Your team, I understand that you lost Sunday and you lost to the Jets, but you're 5-4 and you're still leading your division. I'll sign for that right now. Where do I get it? You know?
Listen, but it's all expectations. I understand leading the division for you guys would be heaven, but there was expectations here for a Super Bowl. Not a leading division for a Super Bowl. And so when the eye gate gets on that team, that you're looking at, is this a Super Bowl team or not? You're not talking about, oh, is this going to be a possible playoff team? I don't think Jerry Jones has shelled out hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars to just say, I just want to creep in the playoffs. He's done that, so he thought this was a possibility of making a Super Bowl, and this team just does not look like that and does not look like they can get anywhere near that right now.
Yeah, you know what I was impressed by in that football game is how the Minnesota Vikings basically said to your defense, we are going to run the ball down your throat. I dare you to stop Dalvin Cook. I dare you to stop Alexander Mattison, the rookie. I mean, Michael, they really imposed their will in that game Sunday night.
They imposed their will, and Dalvin Cook was incredible. Not just running the ball, I mean catching the ball, You know, you talk about stepping up and helping your quarterback. I know everybody's talking about the job that Kirk Cousins has done and turning it around since the apologies and all of that. But you got to look at the plays these guys are making. I mean, he's throwing Dalvin Cook balls 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage that Dalvin Cook's turning into 30-yard plays, 40-yard plays. Those are explosive plays. That's the great and great oddity you can have in the National Football League, are explosive plays. And then you come back. That one-handed catch that kept the ball from hitting the ground by Stephon, my Batman and Robin combination with Adam Thielen out here to get that done. Those are guys that are stepping up, making plays. And then they turned around and told the Cowboys, okay, I know you're going to pay Dak Prescott $40, $35, $36 million a year. Let me see you make him beat us, because we will not let you run this football. And it just did not happen. I mean, it was a great game plan by Coach Jim. He did what he needed to do to come in and get a win in a tough spot right there for the Dallas Cowboys. He took that game away from them with his coaching and that team's play.
Let's be honest with the Cowboys, Mike. And I, you probably can't really speak about this, but I can. They need a new coach. I mean, to me, that's the bottom line. This guy's been there a long time. You know, he's won nothing, okay? He's been there 8 years, 9 years, whatever it is, and I understand he's Jerry's guy and all of that, but they need a new head coach. I'm sorry. I mean, when I look as a guy who's not a Cowboy fan and looking at it from that angle, that's what I see. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah, and listen, the way I got to see it is this, man. Yeah, I'm going tomorrow night to do a game where a coach has lost his starting quarterback,
Ben
Roethlisberger. He lost to one of the best running backs in the league in Le'Veon Bell, one of the best wide receivers in the league in Antonio Brown, and he has his team right now fighting for a playoff spot with the same record as the Dallas Cowboys, when the Dallas Cowboys had got everything and nobody's there. So, you know, I love Coach Garrett. I love him, man. I consider him one of my greatest and best friends, man. And I worked his butt to death when he was here, you know, because I couldn't throw Troy Arm out.
Right,
I mean, Jason
right,
Garrett
right,
would,
right.
Jason Garrett would get off a plane on a second honeymoon with Brill, his great, beautiful wife, and I would call him and catch him getting off the plane. I said, "Where you at, man? Where are you, man?" He said, "I just landed. We were on a second honeymoon." I said, "Put her in a taxi and get your butt to the field. Let's get to work here." And he did that. He would do that, you know, to put that work in, man. Put her in a taxi. You get over here. Let's get some work in. So nobody wish and hope and want and pray for his success more than me. But when you do those comparative analysis and you see a Mike Tomlin or a John Gruden and all these guys, and a Frank Wright, you guys say, God Almighty, you know, God Almighty, it cannot be this way. I don't mean to get on a soapbox about it, but I'm just, you know, and listen, I hear the soapbox about the Jets all the time. I get one time to just go soapbox on it, and I'm done with it.
You can soapbox on our show anytime, Mike. So don't you know?
You got it, man.
Let me say this too,
dude. Because like when we meet the Giants, and this is thing, this one station they have here is so funny, dog. Let me tell you what they do. They peek in on the team when Dallas wins.
Right.
They'll peek in on the radio of the other team. So when we beat the Giants, I don't know what station they had on. But they had some guy from some calling in on some station in New York. Oh my God, this must have been the funniest thing in the world. Listening to a New Yorker go off about, oh, this is gonna pass something. He don't know me. And it was the funniest stuff. It's my first time hearing it.
Right.
I laughed.
Well, Mike, I got news for you. Most of the Giant fans are screaming and yelling about Shermer because they want him out. They think he's a bad head coach.
Yep.
And you know what? It's tough to argue with him
right
now, Mike.
I mean, it is very tough to argue.
No. That's what we said. We said the same thing. So this guy, he was screaming and yelling, but he was making some very good points. You know, he was right on the point. I was like, wow, that's incredible. But now talking about that game, guys, you can say what you want. I loved it. And I saw it. I read his lips, man. I ain't no lip reader, but I read his lips. When my son, my nephew looked across that field and told the New York Giants, this is my city. Like, I get chill bumps even thinking that, too. I just got chill bumps when I repeated it because the intensity was there. It was good watching that, just a battle between those two teams, those two New York teams.
Don't lose to the Redskins. You know what I mean? You know what I mean, bro? Because I got to tell you right now, I've been saying this all week. They'll make Dwayne Haskins look like he's Doug Williams in Super Bowl 22. I mean, I can see it.
It won't happen.
I hope
it
not.
It won't happen.
From your lips to God's ears. You know what I'm saying, bro?
It won't happen. If you really want to win. So you guys that's funny. Since we said we got a quarterback. I don't care. We don't care about a draft choice. You're not a quarterback right here. You need some wins just to start building some morale around here. So you don't say, hey, let's just try to, you know, right now, I don't know if we're making the playoffs. I can tell you, you're not making the playoffs.
No, no, no. Well, we know that. I mean, you know, maybe Sam doesn't know it, but we certainly know.
It's okay for him to have that attitude.
But he should feel that way. You know what? I want my quarterback thinking that, Mike, to be very honest with you.
Yeah, you're right. You want them thinking that we can win every game and then it's not over. It's never over. Because once you think it's over, that's a wrap. I already told you guys, hope dictates effort. If you say there's no hope to get in the playoffs, then that effort dwindles greatly. But if you really believe you still have hope to get in, then you'll give greater effort.
Yeah.
So I want him believing that.
Yeah, we're talking to Michael Irvin. I think back to the draft from last year, and not just the quarterbacks, not just Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold and Josh Allen and Josh Rosen, but even other guys. You know, even Saquon Barkley to the Giants and all that, Bradley Chubb to Denver. They all, Michael, all of them, could have had Lamar. All of them. Every single team could have taken Lamar Jackson, who went 32nd. He was the last pick of the first round. And right now, he looks like he's on another level from anybody else with the way he's playing for this Ravens team.
Yeah, because everybody perceives what they see when they see a talent and how it fits into their offense. Okay, how we're going to fit this offense. You got to give Baltimore credit for saying, wait a minute, we're on the last leg of Joe Flacco. Okay, this is just we're on the last leg of Joe Flacco. Let's go and get Lamar Jackson And they knew. They knew. That is not like I'm not going to be able to run the similar offense or the same offense that Joe Flacco ran. And he's a totally different dude. And they made the decision to say, let's go. Let's go. Let's build around his skill set. Let's build around his talent. And, wow, what a great decision they made, man. It's incredible to watch this kid do some of the things he has done running the football and the way he's running the football. And we always compare him to Michael Vick. I understand why they do it because Michael Vick is so fast. But the reality is Michael Vick, and I'm going to say this, as good as Michael Vick was, he's never been Lamar Jackson. Michael Vick has never been this quick, this fast, and this great in tight spaces. Now, once he got open up and got running, he was phenomenal. Michael Vick was phenomenal. But this dude, their plays, you have him in the backfield, and you look up, and he's running down the field. You say, how the hell did he get out of that? That is incredible. That's how talented and gifted he is.
Right now, who are you taking as the MVP? You going with Lamar or you going with Russell Wilson right now?
Yeah, I'm still going with Russell Wilson. I still got to go with Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, I knocked off. I know it's not the Patriots, but he knocked off an undefeated team other day. You know what I mean? And knocking off those bad boys, San Francisco. And you saw that play where in the end zone, it's the fullback. Most people would have thrown that pass out of the back of the end zone and thrown it away. Not Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson found the only spot to drop that ball in and got that touchdown. Now, I know people say, well, he came right back and tried to drop it in and got it intercepted. Yes, he did. But then he made up for that with the great run and the great overtime play and took his team right down to win that game. It's still Russell Wilson because he raises everybody up around him. Now, Lamar Jackson raises everybody up with his running, with his legs, and with his play. But Russell Wilson, for me, is just a beast, man. I'm still taking Russell Wilson right now. The only other time a quarterback led the whole season in touchdown throws and in passer rating was 2010, Tom Brady. Mm. He won MVP that year. And that's exactly what Russell Wilson is, and I believe he should get MVP right now this year.
He's been remarkable. There's so many things from that game. That was probably pound for pound the best football game of the year between San Francisco and Seattle. But I want to ask you about this one aspect because it involves complaining about the officials, which I know Joe appreciates.
Oh, I love it.
Right before Russell Wilson converted on that 3rd and 16, and it was on the drive where he threw the interception in the red zone, he was deemed to have been sacked, that he was in the grasp of a defender, when he wasn't. Yeah. And he is scampered for a bunch of yards, but the official said, no, they had him in the grasp. It's a sack, especially a guy with Wilson who's so elusive.
Right.
Don't they have to be a little bit more careful when they deem a quarterback is in the grasp, and we're going to call it a sack?
Absolutely, guys. Let's go. First of all, that was an incredible game.
Oh, it was the best.
That was incredible.
It was the best.
Boy, listen, man, that was a great game, man.
Yes.
I knew it was like a heavyweight fight. It was back and forth. It was tit and tut, tough and tough. It was such a great. I was like, oh my God, this is a great game. Now, but to that, and speaking of a heavyweight fight, yes, you're right. These refs have to stop Tom Brady and these guys that are not anything like Tom Brady. You know, that's what it is. Like you, when you go into a boxing match, you know if a guy has been great at taking a punch. And you've seen this guy because you have to study his fight. You say, oh, man, this guy, he's taking a punch. People thought he was out, but they let it go on, and he came back and win. This guy gets better after he takes a punch. So you got to give him a shot. Even when you see him take that big punch, don't you count him out yet. Don't start giving him the standing eight or start a count on him. You let him score out because you time and time again, he's shown you he can get out of that. And these refs have to start understanding that. Happened, same thing happened to Deshaun Watson a couple games ago. He got out and threw a touchdown, but the guy had already called in the grass. The next week, they kicked him in the eye, had him in the grass. They didn't call him. He gets out and he throws a game-winning touchdown. You got to say, not just, well, I'm going to call it like I call it because we're trying to protect the Tom Brady's of the world. You got to say, well, I'm reffing this kind of a quarterback, and I got to take into account his special skill set and gifts that Tom Brady kind of don't have. You gotta do that. Yep. You gotta do that kind of stuff.
And I'll tell you something else too. They gotta call when it's helmet to helmet hits, whether it's to a quarterback, whether it's Tom Brady or whether it's Ryan Fitzpatrick, like it was on Sunday. If you watch the Dolphin game, yeah, he got a helmet to helmet hit, and they didn't throw the flag. And then six plays later, they made him go into the concussion protocol. Did you see that, Mike? I mean, I'm watching this game. All right. And I'm actually rooting for Miami in this game only because, you know, they win now. I'm not as embarrassed as a Jet fan, and we actually lost to them. You know what I mean? That makes me crazy when I see stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we've seen a lot of it where they miss helmet to helmet. I've seen some plays, honestly, and I don't want to say I was okay with it, but I was happy they didn't make a call, where you know, if you do any kind of forcible blow towards the head area of a quarterback and hit him in the head, that's a penalty. And I've seen some of those that they just did not make the call. Absolutely,
right.
I saw the play.
Right.
And you're right. You say, oh, man, that he hit him in the head. And they didn't make the call. So it's happened all over the league, man. I hate killing the refs.
I love it. No, you know, Mike, I love killing the refs. I love it. I do.
Yeah. Hey. So you think you guys get out there and ref better than me?
No. I think there's too many rules. It's not a matter of that. There's too many rules. There's too many guys, officials on the field as far as I'm concerned. There's too many guys out there. There's too many rules. And now, here's the other thing that makes me crazy. I go, well, they've glorified these guys that now these guys are making millions of dollars because we need a rules expert on the games. You know, we got to see Gene Steratore, and we got to see Mike Pereira, and we got to see
Dean Blandino.
Give me a break. I mean, do I really need Dean Blandino telling me this is a penalty? Do I need
now,
that, Mike?
Every broadcast has to have a rules expert.
Right.
On field. Now, I remember a couple weeks ago when we did that game in London, we talked to Doug Rose. I told you, he has a rules expert. He has an own ref on his staff that tells him, Doug Marone, Bruce Arians.
Okay.
He has an old ref on his staff that tells him when to challenge and tells him what language to use to talk to the ref.
Yeah.
He says, I have this guy on my staff. Tell me when to challenge. Tell me what rules, what language to use when I talk to him. And he said, I still hadn't won any of them.
I said that's
smart to have the guy. He said, I said that in the meeting. He said, yeah, but I still haven't won any of them. He said, his thing is all over the place. The guy he has gone to these meetings. He knows the discussions they have, and he still hasn't figured it out. So I'm sure they're going to try to put some nuts and bolts and tighten this thing down real good this offseason from the ref standpoint.
Well, you know what? I'm waiting for when the NFL is going to, like, you can go to NFL.com, you know, and buy, like, official referee merchandise. You know what I mean? Like, I can buy, like, a Walt Anderson. You know, I could go out and get my Walt Anderson referee jersey, you know? Sean Hockley. You know what I'm saying?
And be like, be like the dude that on Catch Me If You Can. We want to be walking out there and say, well, who are you? Oh, yeah, I'm the headliner for the day. You know? And go call your own game. Walk right in here and say, that new ref really did a great job today. Yeah. Don't call anything.
Yes. That's my guy. Don't call a thing, and I'm loving it.
Don't call anything. Just let everything go.
Yep.
We're talking to Michael Irvin. What is wrong with the Rams? Is it the line? Is it the quarterback? Is it the coach? Is it a Super Bowl hangover? Is it everything that's wrong with this team right now?
It's two things that are going on. Absolutely, the Super Bowl hangover. It's impossible to say that doesn't have an effect when we've seen the results of that over the years. Team after team that gets there and they don't win it. This is getting back, and it's just the reality of it. But I think the major part of what's going on is Todd Gurley isn't Todd Gurley. You don't have Todd Gurley running the football like he's been running the football the last couple of years in that offense, and sometimes like last time he didn't touch the ball in the fourth quarter. So it's not that he's just dropped off; he's dropped out. He's dropped out. It blows my mind. And then what Pittsburgh did, they said, I tell you what, since we know there's no Todd Gurley, he's basically out. And Brandon Cooks in there. Let's just double Cooper Kupp. Let's see what you have here. And they have nothing. They couldn't do anything. So it's shocking. It is absolutely shocking. All these guys have gotten a job because everybody was trying. They did Freddie Kitchens. I'm doing that game. There's Freddie Kitchens. They got in the job because everybody was making sure, well, let's not let the offensive genius get out of the building now. We see what Washington did with Sean McVay. But the reality is right now, that thing with the Rams do not look good. It does not look good at all.
Let's be honest. Jared Goff isn't that good. I mean, right? I mean, am I crazy saying this, Mike?
Well, I don't want to say he's not that good, but when you make him do more than he's accustomed to, then that's been the issue. Because that's what another thing the teams are doing. You know, at 15 seconds, with 15 seconds to go, that microphone in his ear goes dead. So early on, you would have seen you saw Rams getting to that count early. Now, what teams are doing, they're just saying, we're going to wait to after 15 seconds it goes, then we're going to change coverage, we're going to change the defense. Now you can't get that sideline help. We want you to beat us, not you and him from the sideline beating us, and that has been a struggle.
What do you expect from the Eagles and the Patriots? A very appealing game, Super Bowl rematch from a couple of years ago in Philadelphia. Pat's coming off a bye. What do you expect?
And both teams coming
that's
off
true.
That bye,
that's
man.
True. Yeah, both teams,
both teams
right.
coming off that bye. So I expect Philly to give them a great game. I said that a couple weeks ago when I was talking to the people in Boston. I said, you guys better be ready. Because Philly's going to give you a great game. And then I heard yesterday what Tom Brady was saying. I hadn't forgot that Super Bowl. You know? And so I hadn't forgot that y'all beat me in the Super Bowl. I'm still holding that. And for him to mention it in an atmosphere where they're always saying, you know, yesterday the past is the past. We can't focus on the past. We got to focus on what's right now. For him to try to conjure up that pain and use it as a tailwind in this game tells me, fulfill it. I had hope for you, but I don't know what kind of hope I can give you now. New England's coming off a loss, and Tom Brady, the heart and soul of this team, is reminding everybody on this team did something to us, and we owe them back. So I think it's going to be a good game, but I do believe that New England will win that game.
You know, maybe the biggest shocker last weekend had to be the way the Falcons came in and just beat up New Orleans, Mike. I mean, they just killed them in this game. I know it's a division rival, and you'll throw the records out when that happens. But, you know, big rivalry game. But I was stunned that they destroyed them like they did.
Flat out stunned. I was flat out stunned, too. Going to that game, it was 1-7 versus 7-1.
Yep.
Are you joking? 1-7 versus 7-1, and they beat New Orleans in New Orleans. They beat New Orleans. That's crazy. They were all over. They were all over Drew Brees. That defense was. It looked like, you know. And that's another thing I thought too, because everybody had been talking about Dan Quinn and he's going to get fired. He may be fired. This game may be the game to get him fired if he goes in and he gets beat badly by this team, because they're 7-1, he's 1-7, they're going to get rid of him. And everybody played like their hair was on fire. And then you got to sit back and extrapolate it out of that and say, why the hell you can't do this every week? Why does it have to be that they're about to fire your coach? Why can't your coach get you to this place every week to play like this? Because you would have been where you should be right now if you played like this every week. Why does it take some extra thing or some death-defying thing for you to bring the best out of you?
Well, you're right about that. Michael, always great talking to you, man.
Now, you said you're doing the game Thursday night. Are you doing the Cleveland-Pittsburgh game?
Yeah, I got to go do that game, man. But you're not doing the play-by.
You're not going to be in the booth.
No.
Okay.
I'll do the pregame.
Right.
Play-by-play would be better. I'd be at least up in some kind of booth and box right there. But it's going to be so cold. I missed the Oakland game in Arizona because I was, you know, going back and forth from London.
Right.
I miss those two cities and then get Cleveland. God almighty.
God almighty. I understand.
You know, that's a hard call.
Bundle up. Bundle up, man.
Indeed.
Thank you, Michael.
All right, Mike.
The great Michael Irvin.
Indeed.
In his weekly spot, heading out to Cleveland. That's the Thursday night or the
it's
Browns.
Actually a good game tomorrow night.
Browns Steelers.
Very
yeah.
good game.
Yeah.
Cleveland's favorite, too. Are they 3-point favorite in that game?
I saw it at 2.5, could be 3, no matter where you go. The Sunday night game is Rams Bears in LA.
Right.
Two teams that have underachieved so far.
Right.
And then Chiefs Chargers on Monday night.
And the Eagle Pack game is the 425
game. 425 game. Yep.
Right after I'm still reeling from the jet loss.
You're preparing yourself.
Oh, I'm really prepared.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.